the sermon for this week, Who's the Boss? And we can glean much from that title, Who's the Boss in Our Lives? Christ is not a boss, is he? In the sense that, does he order us around? When we rely on ourselves, who is the boss then? It's ourselves. If you want to go a little deeper than that, it's ultimately Satan who is our boss. But this morning, we will examine three gifts from God. Repentance, submission, and service. Repentance, submission, and service. To a large segment of society today, the first two gifts, repentance and submission, sound so out of date. The thinking of much of our world questions why modern people should bother with such supposed self-effacing acts as repentance and submission. Ours is an age of what? Self-promotion. Humility in any of its forms seems dated and ultimately degrading. So why indeed should we concern ourselves with the two gifts from God, repentance and submission? There are several reasons. First, being that the ministry of Christ began with the call to what? Repentance. Think about it. When we examine the Gospels, I'll read a few texts, and you glean from it what you can. Matthew 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 9:13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 1:4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Mark 2:17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke 3:3, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching him the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke 15:7, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And finally, Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So I'll say again, the ministry of Christ began with the call to repentance. Christ's teaching centered on the offer of new life received through the act of repentance. That's where it's centered. What our Lord made clear is that repentance is the beginning of our journey to freedom. The purpose of repentance, submission, and service. Now listen to this. I like this. The purpose of repentance, submission, and service is to lead individuals into the freedom which God has prepared for those who live in submission to Christ. Isn't that true? Now that truth brings us face to face with one undeniable fact. The fact that repentance is not a one-time experience. It is an ever-expanding daily experience that strengthens us as we walk the path of holiness. The awesome power of this experience takes us to the throne of God, directly into his presence, where we are lavished with grace upon grace, even with the grace to live submissively to the person and teachings of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 15 says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received from grace for grace. And verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Without repentance, there will be no desire to live in submission to Christ. There will be no thought of wanting to please our Redeemer in any way. And certainly no thought of glorifying Christ with our words and deeds. Our problem, my problem with submission, is that it has become a dirty word sometimes to me. Why? Because I have not let the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, release me from the bondage of self. Submission in the age that we live in today, in the 21st century, is regarded as most definitely being degrading. And of course, it can be. Submission to any end destructive. But in sharpest contrast to a degrading experience, submission to the person and teachings of Jesus leads to the most extraordinarily experience of freedom that a soul can experience. Have you experienced freedom today? Truly, do you know what it is to be free? I ask that question myself again. You know, as you prepare, as you study, and one doesn't have to do a sermon to realize this, just in your regular study time, if you ask yourself personal questions as you read, the Lord will reveal to you where you need to make corrections in your life. Let us be open to corrections from the Lord. Let's remember the life of Jesus himself. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, submitted to baptism by the hands of John the Baptist. Jesus then submitted to the rigors of a fast in the wilderness, where he was mightily tempted. Despite repeated dangers, he submitted to the calling of his Father to preach the good news of saving grace. At the Passover dinner, when his disciples, he humbly submitted to washing their feet. Then, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he submitted his will to the will of his Father. And ultimately, through the agony of the cross, he became, and he submitted to become, the atonement for our sins. But throughout Christ's life of submission, he retained the perfect freedom which belongs to those whose life is centered in the will of God. In the will of God. And the result? We serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. I've been saying that a lot lately. I serve a risen Savior. I don't believe in a dead Savior. Christ is alive. He loves you more than in any way that I could possibly describe it. And that has been the experience this past week for me. You know, folks, we get caught up in things that are just not important. What are we missing? What is important in our life? You know, we're living in the end times. Well, how do we know that? All you got to do is read the newspaper. We're not saying the Lord's coming tomorrow. We're not saying the Lord's coming next year. But what we are saying is that this breath that you take, the very next breath you take, is the breath that Jesus has given to you. That's it. You only have one breath that God has given you. And he gives you each breath. What you do with that breath, what you do with the life that God has given to you. Folks, you know, a lot of us has fallen to the depths of despair. Now, let's face it. A lot of us have hit the bottom. We all have hit the bottom in some way. I believe everyone has a bottom somewhere. Because the Lord can't work with you if you don't hit the bottom. The bottom is the starting point, the clean slate. where the Lord will work in your life, will lead you unto repentance, will lead you unto submission. He will lead you into service. He will commit to you a new life, a freedom that is beyond words. I'm not saying the bottom has to be an alcoholic pit, but the bottom to me is letting go of self, letting Christ let go. How do I put that? I like to word that right. Letting Christ let you let go of self. That's it. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind are they talking about there? Let this mind be in you. What mind? Christ's mind. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Servant. A servant. Who's the boss? Who is your boss today? Who is your boss today? I want to talk about a promise as we continue. A promised reward for those who live in submission to Christ. Do you know the promise? It is that we will someday, very soon, be home with Jesus and reign with Him forever and ever. What better promise can you have in your life? Someday soon. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Another beautiful promise. That is why, folks, submission is at the center of the Christian life. It is a defining characteristic of anyone who claims Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is why it is such a perversion for us to live in any manner other than in total submission to Jesus Christ. Did you hear that word? Perversion? Horrible word, isn't it? Now, in the plainest English, that means we are to relinquish and bury all traces of arrogance, vanity, and pride. All traces. Help us, Lord. That was my thought. Help me, Lord. How easy it is to be full of pride. And how easy it is to be vain. We are to abandon totally any form of snobbery, self-centeredness, and slothfulness. I'm speaking to myself, folks. This is not an arrow pointing at you as such. I had to speak this because the Lord spoke to me. Our lives are to be a reflection of the goodness and humility of Jesus. Compare it. The goodness and humility of Jesus to the snobbery, self-centeredness, and slothfulness of humankind. What do you see? There's a big difference, isn't it? Jesus ate with sinners. Did He throw a stone at the adulterous woman? Our lives are really ultimately to convey the humility by which Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It is Christ whose name we bear. We have an awesome privilege and a responsibility. And by His grace and power, we are to reflect His goodness and humility. Remember, by His goodness and His power, we can only do that. Can't do it on our own. Listen to this statement. There is nothing that hurts the Christian witness more than the absence of humility and the lack of compassion, patience, forgiveness, and submission. There is little wonder that the Church of Jesus Christ withers whenever Christians cling to selfish and cynical attitudes. I've been cynical. I've been cynical in my life. I left God out of the picture to begin with. I had a day that was very cynical, and the reason I finally came to a conclusion why, because I lost sight of my Savior. because I saw no hope. What's the use? That's where I was. But I won't leave you there, because that's not where I'm at now. As God's elect, holy and beloved, you are to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. You are to bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint, then forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. By doing so, the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts. The reference there is Colossians 3, verses 12 to 15. We should underline that. Highlight it, underline it, type it out, put it on the fridge. Do something with that text. Because that's where it's found. The peace of Christ will rule in your hearts when you discover those attributes. Through repentance, we enter the only true freedom there is. The freedom to live in submission to God's priorities. The freedom to wear the mantle of humility. The freedom to forgive repeatedly. The freedom to convey compassion with no strings attached. That is why submission is God's high road to the treasury of grace. In this world, it is not a privilege for you to have love returned to you. If you are showing compassion on an individual because you expect compassion back from them, that is the wrong reason. Do not expect compassion back. If you get it back, great. If you don't, praise the Lord still. Submission has nothing to do with false humility. Nothing to do with self-contempt and groveling before the vanity of others. Submission is the road to freedom, the freedom to love unconditionally and to serve sacrificially. Now a statement from Reflecting Christ. Before the believers held out the wonderful possibility of being like Christ, obedient to all the principles of the law. The holiness that God's word declares he must have before he can be saved is a result of the working of divine grace as he bows in submission to the discipline and restraining influences of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, sorry. Man's obedience can be made perfect only by the incense of Christ's righteousness. Don't you like the way that's put together? Which fills with divine fragrance every act of obedience. I got to read that again. Man's obedience can be made perfect only by the incense of Christ's righteousness, which fills with divine fragrance every act of obedience. Boy, there's perfume in the air there, folks. Perfume of the Spirit. Such things are not understood by modern pagans, are they? They will tell you that submission and servanthood is disgusting. They will tell you that those who teach such things are tyrants. Those who are not in union with Christ say such things because they do not know him who gives freedom to the soul and redefines personhood. The Son of God says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." The world says, "You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You bloody my nose, and I'll bloody yours." Jesus says, "If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect." These are the commandments of Emmanuel, the God with us, who by his humility gained for us eternal life. Our true vocation was defined when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and said, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." The expectation is clear in closing. The question is, can we live up to it? No. We can't if we attempt to do so on our own. The only way we can serve with humility is through repentance and submission to Christ. And that is why repentance and submission is such an invaluable gift from God. Prayer, fasting, study of God's word, simplicity, repentance, submission, service, all gifts from God. may open our souls to the transforming power of Jesus Christ. They remove from us what is petty and catty and small-minded. That's what they remove from us. They rip out the cords of vanity and conceit so that our hearts are open to receiving the full measure of God's grace, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Repentance and submission are the gifts by which we become new people. Folks, we need to be new people today. We need to be revived. We need to be holy people, consecrated people, committed people, all to the glory of God. One more small quote, and pray about this one when you go home. There is no hope of the higher life. Okay? There is no hope of the higher life but through the submission of the soul to Christ. There is no other hope. The life which you possess as a Christian is of Him, and it is to Him. And every moment that you are here on this earth, it must be through Him. Of Him, through Him, and to Him, we serve a risen Savior. Now, as we close, I've thought about this. And all too often in the past, this sermon was prepared because of my experience with... It came to my mind because of the experience working with that list. And I realized, as I said before, that God loves every single person here. And He has a special place in His heart for those who have accepted the call to service. If your name is not on the list, He still has a special place in His heart for you because you still have a call to service. It just may not be in the worship service time or something like that. But as a people, we need to come to a realization. It's a hard road sometimes, and everyone needs the prayers of strength, of compassion, of understanding, of surrender, all these attributes. It is an awesome privilege to be called. Everyone is a minister for God. Everyone is a minister for God. Everyone.